Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we want to begin our lesson by reading verses 25 through 34. This, of course, is from the Lord's great Sermon on the Mount, recorded in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In our lesson, we want to concentrate on the Lord's instruction found in these particular verses. I never cease to be amazed at what a wonderful preacher our Lord is. I have a series of 26 lessons that I present based on this one sermon that our Lord preached. You can read it in about 20 minutes or so, depending on how fast you read. But our Lord dealt with a number of very important subjects on that very special occasion. I would love to have been there. I'm impressed with the response of the people when the Lord concluded his sermon. The people were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Our Lord dealt with a number of very important subjects in this one sermon. Just amazes me how he could be so thorough in dealing with so many subjects in one particular sermon. In these verses, and this is the main point that we want to make in our lesson, Christ gives six reasons not to worry. Now, in our bulletin for today, there's an article that gives a number of reasons not to worry. I think there are 17 of them. We want to concentrate on six reasons that our Lord gave in these verses we read just a moment ago from Matthew chapter 6. Whenever I mention worry, I can't help but bring to mind an experience I had a number of years ago. I preached a sermon on worry one Sunday, and after the service was over, a good sister came by me and she said, I didn't know that the Bible had so much to say about worry. Well, that particular day, I felt pretty good, and my mind was functioning fairly well. And my response was, the Lord must have known that we were going to have a problem with it. And that seemed to pacify her, and she went on her way. Well, the Bible does have a lot to say about worry. But we want to concentrate for a little while on six matters that Jesus presented in his great sermon. As our Lord was proceeding through his great sermon in verse 25, he introduced a new subject. He said that his followers are not to take thought for their lives. Now notice that verse 25 begins with the word therefore. As we have indicated a number of times, that's an important word. We might be tempted just to overlook it. But it indicates something. It indicates to us that what is about to be said is actually a conclusion of what has just been said. So we need to keep in mind what our Lord had just said as we consider what he has to say in verse 25. Well, if you look at verse 24, you'll see that Jesus said, "We cannot serve God and mammon." In other words, we cannot be devoted to serving God and at the same time be devoted to hoarding up treasures on earth. And that's what the Lord was teaching when he said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." He said, you can't be devoted to serving God and at the same time be completely devoted to hoarding up treasures on earth. Now, based on that particular principle that Jesus revealed in verse 24, he said in verse 25 that we're not to take thought for our lives. Now, when Jesus said, "Take no thought," exactly what did he mean by that? Was he saying that we're not to ever have any concerns at all? Well, I don't believe so. Because, you see, the Bible actually teaches that we have a number of concerns. With that thought in mind, I was remembering when I was a lot younger, before Teresa and I got married, I really didn't have too many cares in my life. I just wasn't concerned about things. But when I asked her finally to marry me, I had to do some serious soul searching because I understood that not only would I be responsible for myself, but I was going to be responsible for her welfare. And that caused me a lot of concern. Well, the Bible even teaches, in reference to Christians facing tribulation in the first century, that a married man would be concerned about the welfare of his family. That's a legitimate concern. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, if one doesn't take care of his own family, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. So we have a number of legitimate concerns. When Jesus said, "Take no thought," was he saying that you're not to ever have any concerns at all? No, he wasn't teaching that, because you see, that would contradict what is taught in other scriptures. We have a number of legitimate concerns. But when Jesus said, "Take no thought," he was saying, don't allow your concerns to turn into anxiety. And that's what he was dealing with. And specifically, the Lord said that we're not to be filled with anxiety over things such as food, drink, and clothing. Now, we refer to those things as the necessities of life. They're necessary. That's why they're called necessities. We have to have food to live. We have to have something to drink to live. We have to have clothing. These are legitimate concerns. But the Lord said, don't be filled with anxiety over those things. So the Lord introduced a new subject in verse 25. He had just said, you can't serve God and mammon. Then he went on to say, don't be filled with anxiety over the necessities of life. In other words, don't be overcome with worry. Don't be overcome with anxiety. So Jesus introduced a new subject in verse 25. He was teaching his followers not to be filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. But after the Lord gave that word of instruction, he presented six reasons why we should not worry about the necessities of life. Now, Jesus didn't set out order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but if we analyze what he did say, he was presenting six important reasons for avoiding the activity of being filled with anxiety. The first reason is found in the latter part of verse 25. The Lord showed that our lives are more valuable than food and clothing. After telling us not to take thought for the necessities of life, he asked a question. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment? Now that's an important question. And through asking that question, Jesus was teaching that our lives are more valuable than things such as food and clothing. Now, food and clothing are important because we have to have them to live. We understand that. However, we actually live to fulfill a very high purpose. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. So while we have to have food and clothing in order to live, we need to keep things in perspective, and we live on this earth to fulfill a very high spiritual purpose. Fearing God and obeying his will are to be our top concerns because they will enable us to live forever. Now, food and clothing are limited to this life. Fearing God and keeping his commandments have to do with the next life that will be throughout eternity. So one reason why we need to avoid being filled with anxiety over the necessities of life is that our lives are more valuable than food and clothing. Let's look at a second reason revealed in verse 26. Jesus said that we're more valuable than the creatures that God has created. Now specifically, Jesus talked about the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, and they do not gather into barns. However, the Father feeds them. In our neighborhood, we were having a problem for a while with raccoons coming through in the middle of the night and getting into people's garbage. And it happened to me one night. I actually saw one of them. And I decided that maybe I needed to use my garbage can. I like to put things out in a big bag so the garbage men come along, pick it up, and it's gone. And I don't have to worry about bringing a can inside. I'd, you know, try to eliminate having to do that. Well, I went ahead and put everything in my can so the raccoons cannot get into it. Well, after the raccoons got into my neighbor's garbage and left some of it scattered out in the yard, the crows came along the next day and I saw them picking at what had been scattered by the raccoons. And I thought, I don't believe that's what Jesus had in mind when he said that the Father feeds the birds of the air. But they came along, they saw something, and they ate it. And now, this is really strange, and I've seen it several times. The crows will come along to my neighbor's garbage and pick through the bags to get at what's inside. And people call them dumb animals. Well, they figured out how to get a source of food. Well, I have never seen a bird sow, that is, plant seed. I have never seen a bird reap. I've never seen a bird gather something into barns. Birds don't do things like that. But I've also never seen a bird drop dead from a heart attack because he was worried about something. The Father feeds them. I learned a long time ago, you can learn some valuable lessons by just observing animals. Well, Jesus said that we're more valuable than the creatures that God has created. On another occasion, he indicated that human beings are much more valuable than birds. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, the Lord said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." And that's a thought-provoking statement right there. Concerning the value of sparrows from a monetary standpoint, we would say they're basically worthless. I'm not exactly sure how much a farthing would have been, but you could buy two of them for a farthing. Sounds like a real good deal, doesn't it? From a monetary standpoint, sparrows are basically insignificant. But think about this. Not one little sparrow falls to the ground without the Father knowing about it. That ought to really get our attention. Look at verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now, the Lord was making a very important point. If God cares so much for the birds of the air, won't he provide for his children that are made in his image? That's a good reason not to worry, isn't it? If we are faithful, God will provide the necessities of life. Let's notice a statement made by David. I love to read this statement on a regular basis. It's found in Psalm 37 and verse 25. I've always appreciated this statement, but now as I'm getting a little older, I can really appreciate it. Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old. Okay. David, you've lived a long life. You've had a number of experiences. What can you share with us? He said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If we're faithful, God will provide the necessities of life. Well, Jesus is presenting a second reason for not getting caught up with being anxious over things such as the necessities of life. Jesus said that we are more valuable than the creatures that God has created. If God cares so much for the creatures that he has created, then certainly he's more concerned about us. We've been made in his image. Let's turn to a third reason that the Lord presented in verse 27 of Matthew 6. The Lord pointed out that worrying will not change anything. Now, look at the illustration that the Lord used. I tell you, if someone couldn't understand the Lord, it wasn't his fault. He made things so plain and so easy to understand. If someone couldn't understand him, then they didn't want to understand. The illustration that the Lord used is by worrying about how tall you are, can you change your height? No. The point is, worrying won't change anything. That being the case, why do we sometimes have a tendency to worry? If it won't change anything, then we would call that a useless exercise, wouldn't we? Or an exercise in futility. Since worrying won't change anything, let's listen to the instruction found in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. By the way, this morning, Phil Sanders presented a fine lesson based on these verses in Philippians chapter 4. And this is one verse that he mentioned. I love to study from these verses and I love to teach from them. Because Paul shows us how we can have peace of mind. But in verse 6, we find the statement, be careful for nothing. Now, that word careful means full of care or filled with anxiety. Basically, it's the same point that the Lord was making. Take no thought. Now, Paul is a little bit more general. He said, don't be filled with anxiety over anything. What's the antidote? Well, the verse goes on to say, but, notice the contrast, in everything. And that's far-reaching, isn't it? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now that is the alternative to worry. As far-reaching because it relates to everything, what are we to do? By prayer and supplication. Supplication is asking God to supply a need, but when we do so, we're to have thanksgiving in our hearts. Being thankful for the blessings that God has provided, that gives us confidence that He will continue to provide. Well, we're to let our request be made known unto God. Since worrying won't change anything, we need to pursue a better practice. And that better practice is revealed in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Let's turn our attention to a fourth reason why we should not be filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. Look at verses 28, 29, and 30 of Matthew 6. Jesus taught that we're more valuable than the plants that God has created. Now, He's already talked about the birds of the air. Now, He's talking about the plants of the field. We're more valuable than the plants that God has created. Now, Jesus talked about how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil. They do not spin. But they certainly are beautiful. I can't help it. Every time I read that statement or think about it, I have an image in my mind from West Tennessee, when Teresa and I lived there, right next to the property where we lived, there was a large field. And in the spring of the year, it was absolutely covered with buttercups. I've seen them push up through the snow. That's hard for us to imagine here. But when they're ready to come up, they're coming up, even if there's snow on the ground. And to see that field just filled with little buttercups is a sight to behold. I've seen the blue bonnets in full bloom in South Texas. That's a pretty sight, too. Blue bonnets don't last very long. But it's amazing to see the plants that God has created. Now, notice the Lord's reasoning. They don't toil, they don't spin, but they are beautiful to behold. Now, Jesus talked about Solomon. Can you imagine how Solomon looked when he was all decked out in his royal uniform? Just recently, the queen has passed away, and we have seen a number of pictures of different members of the royal family dressed out in their royal uniforms. Imagine what Solomon looked like. He had so much gold that silver was counted as nothing. Now that's hard for me to imagine. Solomon was very wealthy. The Lord blessed him abundantly. Can you imagine how he was dressed when he sat on his throne for judgment? That would have been a sight to behold. Well, Jesus talked about Solomon in all of his glory. As spectacular as that may have been, that sight could not be compared to the beauty of a little flower. Now, the point that the Lord was making is, if God cares so much for plants that are here today and gone tomorrow, He will certainly see to it that we have sufficient clothing. You see how Jesus was illustrating the point by referring to the lilies of the field and comparing them to Solomon? The point is, if God cares so much for those plants that are only temporary, they're here today and gone tomorrow, He will certainly see to it that His children have sufficient clothing. A fifth reason is found in verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 6. We need to listen to the Lord's instruction about avoiding anxiety over things such as the necessities of life so that we won't be like heathens in the world. And that's a good reason, isn't it? Jesus referred to the Gentiles. And when he mentioned the Gentiles, he was referring to heathen people. What's so important to heathen people? Things such as food, drink, and clothing. God's people should have higher priorities than heathens. Heathens don't believe in God, don't have any respect for God, don't recognize him as the giver and sustainer of life. And Jesus was teaching that surely his followers have higher priorities than heathens. And there's a sixth reason revealed in verse 34 of Matthew 6. Now these are six reasons that Jesus gave for not being filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. Jesus taught in verse 34 that we have enough to be concerned about today without being burdened down with the cares of tomorrow. Now, we need to keep in mind that the Bible teaches us that we are responsible for working. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12 teaches, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." We have the responsibilities to work to provide a living for ourselves and for our families. However, even as we are working to provide those things, the Lord wants us to trust in God to provide our daily needs. What did our Lord teach in the model prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 11? "Give us this day our daily bread." That's depending upon God to supply the things that we need. Now we're to work. We clearly have that responsibility. However, we need to trust in the Lord to provide those things that we need. So we have enough to be concerned about today without being burdened down with the cares of tomorrow. I heard someone say something a long time ago. I don't know if I'll get the quotation exactly right. But a lot of people have concerns about yesterday that's gone, concerns about tomorrow that may never materialize. We have enough concerns with today. That's all we have is today. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. We have today, and we have the hope for tomorrow. We can't afford to spend our time being burdened down with anxiety over something that may not ever materialize tomorrow. Someone says we worry about things that never do happen. I've seen that to be the case. Well, we have enough concerns today without worrying over something that may not even happen tomorrow. Well, Jesus showed us very clearly in this portion of his great sermon why we should not be filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. Now let's look at verse 33. After showing us why we shouldn't worry about such things, the Lord tells us what to have as our top priorities. These are things that deserve our careful attention. Jesus said we must seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. In other words, God's kingdom and his righteousness are to be our top concerns. And the Lord said, if we will do what he taught, God will bless us with the necessities of life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, a lot of people today are concerned about the necessities of life. I wish there was as much concern over following God and his will and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Because you see, if we take care of those things, the other things will take care of themselves. Well, as far as I know, there are two ways of having the necessities of life. One way is to allow worry over them to cause us to put all of our energy into getting them. Or we can seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first and trust that he will provide those things for us. Worrying over things such as the necessities of life will choke out spirituality. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and read verse 22. I never cease to be amazed at the great lessons that Jesus presented in this one parable. It's commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. Jesus talked about a farmer who sowed his seed and it fell on four different types of soil. Now, the types of soil were all different, but they had something in common. When Jesus explained it, they all heard the word. But they heard differently. I think it's interesting that in Luke's account, Jesus concluded by saying, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." That's the moral of the lesson, the moral of the parable. Take heed how you hear. Let's notice what the Lord said, Matthew 13 and verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Notice what the care of the world will do. It will choke out spirituality. Now, we have concerns. We talked about that earlier. And the Lord knows that we have concerns. But he's also shown us how we can be free of worry over those concerns. He said, seek his kingdom and his righteousness as our top priorities, and he will see to it that we are blessed with the necessities of life. Once again, I marvel at that great statement that David made, "I have been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread." On the way here, I saw a man on the side of the road. We see him all the time. He had a little cardboard sign, "Please help." And while he might be trying to draw sympathy, at the same time he was smoking a cigarette. It's hard for me to feel sorry for someone who will take money from someone then spend it on something like that. Isn't that tragic? I can't understand how someone can have such low self-respect. I don't understand that. Well, we have concerns, we have needs, and the Lord knows that. But if we're among the faithful, we won't have to be by the side of the road begging, because the Lord will see to it that we have the necessities of life. The Lord said it, that settles it once and for all. But in my life, I have never seen a faithful child of God resorting to begging. It's not going to happen. Now, David summed that up in Psalm 37 and verse 25. But that's the truth. We live in a society today where I see more of a tendency to rely upon handouts. And we need to be sure that we teach those that we're able to influence with the ways of the Lord. Our Lord teaches us how to have a worry-free life. Isn't that special? I believe it is. Well, the things that we have presented from the Lord's great sermon, he directed toward his disciples. And he wants us to profit from these things even today. I wish I could have been there to hear that great sermon. But I tell you what, the Lord made a wise choice when he selected Matthew to be one of his apostles, because he recorded that great sermon for us. Well, we need to follow the Lord's teaching to the very best of our ability. Now, in order to become a follower of the Lord, we have to hear the gospel. That's why Jesus commanded it to be preached to everyone on the face of the earth. Then he gave the terms of salvation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Mark 16 and verse 16. If you would like to respond to the invitation this morning, we'd invite you to come forward while we stand and sing the verse that's been selected.